It's the official Fantasy Premier League podcast from the Premier League. Today, game week 24. Double game week, you say? Woof. We look at Man City, Everton, Burnley and Fulham. Plus, how we should be planning for the remarkable run of double fixtures coming up in FPL and this game week's Captain Conundrums. All of that and more in this official Fantasy Premier League podcast from the Premier League. Hey there, Fantasy Manager. Many thanks for joining us on the official Fantasy Premier League podcast. Off Pulp for short. I'm James Richardson. Big shout out to my neighbours in the top half mil of managers worldwide. I'm currently ranking 498k. I'm pretty excited by that. I'm joined, this is exciting too, by author and journalist Tom Williams. Hello, Tom.
Hello, James.
What's your OR, Tom?
My OR, I tell you, James, I never check these things. It's not about you know the league position
it
for
is.
Me, the points. It's about the experience.
It's about the league position, Tom. You're 149k.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, Netflix and Chillwell is Tom's team. From the FPL family, and remember, never take sides with anyone against the family, it's Sam Bonfield. Hey, Sam.
How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. You're 68k. You're in the top 70k. Woo!
I'm 58k, James.
Are you?
58k, yeah.
Okay, 58k, you're in the top, well, whatever that is. Are with your team best in all the world. What was so good about your game week, Sam?
They all performed, apart from Suchek, who wrongly was red carded and lost me those 3 points. And my captain, who yet again failed me, which is frustrating, but it could have been so much better again as I left Dominic Calvert-Lewin on my bench for his 13-point haul. So,
yikes.
Goodness, if he'd have played instead of Suchek, which I very, very nearly did on Friday night, it could have been an even better week.
It could always have been a better week, but then again, it could have been worse. We're also joined from the Kaiser Chiefs by Simon Ricks. Hi, Simon.
Hello. I'm in the millions, not in the thousands, unfortunately, I think.
Marathon, not sprint, etc. and that. But crucially, in the official music league, you're actually riding quite high. I think you're 24th, just ahead of Doves, also ahead of Chelsea Grimes, who we had on a week or two ago.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. I think sort of similar to Leeds, I am bottom of the top half, I think, which is a nice place to be, you know.
How long have you been managing for, Simon?
Been doing it quite a long time. It's good this year, actually. I think lockdown has been positive for my fantasy football ing, because sometimes when you're on tour, you lose track of days and weeks and things like that. So you don't know it's Saturday and you've missed your transfers and everything like that. But this year,
right,
I've got 100% focus. I haven't got a job, really, anymore. So 100%. Give it to the fantasy football. So I probably should be doing better, to be honest.
Well, I mean, it's fine margins, isn't it? And it has been a challenging season in so many ways. A lot of the old certainties have gone out the window. I'm assuming you've got triple leads in your team, Simon.
Yeah, I've got 3 leads players. I've got Melier and Dallas, and I've obviously got Bamford, which I think I think a lot of people have got Bamford. I was pleased to hear that Sam also did similar to me. I had Calvert-Lewin on my bench as well this week, and I had Suchek. It's really disappointing when someone gets red card rescinded.
Yeah.
But then you still, I mean, I'm sure that some other people have fared worse from that, but that was a bit of a disappointment. At least
well,
to
indeed.
Have the red card.
Indeed.
Well, I've realised I've managed to develop a metric that can predict with 100% accuracy when Thomas Suchek is going to score. Basically, if I put him in my team, he won't score. And if I put him on my bench, he will score. But
it's
sadly,
the same for me, Tom.
I can't know that until it's too late.
If you could settle your team early in the week and post that, then the rest of us could know.
Maybe I should do that as a gift to the FPL community.
Yeah.
Just let
All right. As
know.
You say, it's not about league position, Tom. So, yeah. Sam, last week there was a fancy Premier League first with Harry Kane playing, but not in your team.
I know, James. Do you know how heartbroken I was? There was a big division of my emotions at that moment, because obviously from a Spurs point of view, I was like, yes, the man is back. That means goals galore from Spurs' point of view. And then I thought, oh my goodness, I don't have him in my FPL team. And the reality is that going into a couple of weeks of double game weeks in 24 and 25, where Spurs don't play twice, and indeed in 24 have a difficult match against Man City, it is difficult to justify bringing him back in this week. But you know me, James, it's Harry Kane. I can't go without it for too long.
Well, we'll see. We'll talk, of course, about Man City Spurs when we look at the Game Week 24 fixtures. One other kind of surprising thing about Game Week 23 was that, for once, the captains delivered. The top three captaincy picks all returned. Fernandes, who had close on 2 million people giving him the armband, had a game. Son and Salah as well. Salah, I actually left on the bench as a kind of... Yeah, I know, it was a controversial call. But there you go. All right. Who did you captain last week, Simon?
I think based on something someone said on this podcast, maybe, I went for Antonio. Who?
Oh, you don't do that.
It might have been me that suggested that.
I think it might have been.
I did it too.
I went big on Fulham, Fulham not doing very well against West Ham, and that was very disappointing.
Yeah. Well, not for them, I guess, but for any of us with West Ham assets, yes. And I think we might have a bit of a chat about West Ham, who are one of the teams who are not doubling up across this crazy rash of extra fixtures that we got in future weeks. Anyway, we'll get onto that shortly. First of all, though, let's check out the fixtures for Game Week 24. Game Week 24 starts Saturday lunchtime, Leicester-Liverpool. Then you've got Palace against Burnley, Man City-Spurs and Brighton-Villa. Sunday, Saints take on Wolves. It's West Brom-Man United, Arsenal-Leeds, Everton-Fulham. And then on Monday, two more games, West Ham, Sheffield United and Chelsea, Newcastle. And then on Wednesday, two more games, Burnley against Fulham and Everton Man City. So first of all, you've got four teams with double fixtures this week. City with Spurs and at Everton, Burnley at Palace and against Fulham, Fulham at Everton and at Burnley, and Everton against Fulham and against Man City. Which are you targeting, Tom?
So I've got three Man City players: Joao Cancelo, John Stones and Raheem Sterling. So obviously be keeping them in. And then I'm looking at Burnley. I don't currently have any Burnley players, but I've got a double transfer available this week. So I think I'll bring in a couple of Burnley players. The one thing that gives me pause when it comes to Everton is the fact that, yes, it's a double game week, but because one of those games is against Man City, can it really be considered a double game week? If you, you know, given the way that City are playing, chances are Everton won't score any goals and they'll probably let at least one goal in. So it's hard to see where the value is there unless you're backing them to spring an upset. So yeah, City and Burnley for me.
Okay, who from the Burnley camp?
I mean, lots of attractive defensive players from a Burnley perspective. Nick Pope in goal being an obvious one. I think I'm going to go for Ben Mee, who is, I think, 5 FPL million. Bring him into my defence. Then I might go Ashley Barnes up front because I need someone to replace Callum Wilson, who got injured at the weekend. Burnley, as well as playing away at Palace and at home to Fulham, and then at home to West Brom in game week 25. So they've basically got two of what should be their easiest fixtures of the season in successive matches. So if Ashley Barnes is ever going to score an absolute hatful, it's now or never.
Crikey. That's a great shout. Also, keeper Nick Pope, who picked up 10 points last time Burnley faced Palace, who they're up against in the first of their double fixtures. And of course, Palace don't have Zaha, which means, I mean, looking at past matches, they won't score many goals. Crikey. Simon, what are you planning to do to maximise your enjoyment of this double game week?
Well, I think it's not going to be... I don't think the two extra fixtures are going to bring that many points, and everyone's got double week game weeks coming up, haven't they? So I'm not going to go too crazy. I've got Calvert-Lewin already. I've got Stones already, so, and also Ben Mee, who I think are all good. I think I'm going to bring in an extra City player somewhere, probably Gundogan, I imagine, to follow the crowd.
Okay, but just the two City players you're thinking?
I've gone a bit crazy this year and used up most of my... free hits and all those kind of things. So I'm just taking it quite steady for a little bit.
Okay.
So just trying to use my free transfers. So just sort of gently tinkering.
Okay. If Simon was going to pick another Man City player that wasn't following the crowd, i.e. not Gundogan, would Phil Foden be the shout? What's his ownership like at the moment?
He's owned by 8.8%.
I had Foden a couple of times coming in, but he's just too inconsistent about... I think after the other day, he might start getting picked a lot more because he was very good, wasn't he? But just every time I put him in, he just doesn't play. Similar to... it's the Suchek experience.
I mean, Phil Foden should play every game because he's clearly amazing, but I'm not sure whether Guardiola is there yet. I mean, as Simon says, that performance against Liverpool, if that wasn't a sort of coming of age performance, then I'm not sure what is. But from an FPL perspective, I have the same sort of reticence about Foden. If you know he's going to start, then he's a good pick. Very attacking player, and he's a decent price. But it's just that fear that, you know, he'll be back on the bench at some point in the next few weeks, which makes me slightly cautious about bringing him in.
Gundogan, by contrast, has been astonishingly consistent since he scored his first goal of the season mid-December. He scored at least two more league goals than any other player in the league. Crikey.
Yeah, I mean, last time I was on, I confidently predicted that this run of form was a flash in the pan.
I remember this, Tom.
that nothing in Ilkay Gundogan's career suggested he was capable of scoring consistently at this rate, and that is why I have not brought him in and have put all my Man City midfielder eggs in a Raheem Sterling shaped basket. But it is starting to look like quite a long flash in the pan, and that does make me slightly anxious and quite foolish.
The one kind of corollary on all this is that when Gabriel Jesus plays, that means that he tends to be less involved in the attacking points. Gundogan, of course, Gabriel Jesus playing is not by any means a given under Guardiola. On the subject of Spurs, who Man City play in the first of their two fixtures, Sam, in all seriousness, are you going to bring Kane back? Is he fixture-proof?
Yeah, I think he is fixture-proof. Will I bring him back this week? I don't know. I think for me, I only, like Simon, only own two Man City players and I'm not troubling up. Manchester City are about to go into a run where they play five matches in the next 14 days. Five matches in 14 days, coupled with Pep and his absolutely insistence on rotating his team at all opportunities, means I don't think that there's many guaranteed starters across both of those game weeks. Now, Pep is going to have a decision to make as to whether he plays these players against Spurs or against Everton. Neither of those on their own are easy games. Spurs have won the last two games against Manchester City, including the game back in November, and again this reverse fixture last February. And both of those games finished 2-0. The game before that was a 2-2 draw. So Spurs have got, in the last three matches in the Premier League against Man City, a decent record. They were very, very poor when Kane was out injured for those couple of games against Chelsea and against Brighton. But we saw a massive resurgence in Spurs against West Brom. Now, OK, it is against West Brom. And we have to take that into account when we're looking at these players. But equally, there was a lift about the whole Spurs team. They all played with more enthusiasm and with more belief, I think, that it could do well because Kane was back in the team. So I think they go into that Manchester City game feeling fairly positive. Now, we have to obviously wait and see what happens in terms of Spurs' performance in the FA Cup against Everton, in terms of who gets the starts there. Is he going to risk Kane? He looked fully fit in that West Brom game and indeed played the entire match. So for me, I think going into a time where Spurs have a game in hand that they need to make up, and we're sort of expecting that to be in or around game week 26, so we're going to have Spurs doubles coming up, it makes sense to target Kane and bring him in, even with this Man City fixture.
It's a very compelling argument, Sam. Leeds, Simon, don't have the double this time, but they do in game week 25. They've got an extra fixture against Saints. I'm already thinking, because I've got transfers stacking up, I'm already thinking about bringing in a Leeds player with this clash away at the Emirates against Arsenal this weekend. Who should I be heading for?
One word of warning, I think, about this week is that Leeds haven't won in London for 3 years. So, I think no Leeds fan is really expecting very much. I think we've got about 2 points in London for the whole time Bielsa's been in charge. So it's not a very happy place for us to go. And if you count Crawley as London, which I don't, it's even worse. Right. So, yeah, maybe it isn't for this week. Maybe we'd wait for another week. But I think, obviously, everyone should have Bamford by now. And I can't see any reason why he's going to stop scoring. I think he's really motivated by being right up there with the big boys in the top scorers. And he is the highest scoring player from open play, joint with Son, and he's now been put on penalties as well. So he should only continue to score more goals, basically.
Right.
Rafinha, I think everyone has been alerted to his presence. He's been playing very well and getting involved. I wonder whether, because he's been so good, he's going to get more attention from opposition players. And so I would be looking to the other side, to Jack Harrison, who's also been quietly getting some goals, getting some assists. He's pretty cheap. He's only 5.4 million and only owned by 2.3% of people. So for the old differential, could be good. And, you know, I think they should let you have more than three Leeds players. If you get promoted teams, more than three promoted team players, you should be able to have.
Right. We'll put that on our list of suggestions for next season, because we've got some pretty excellent ideas. That's good. The biggest tip, though, about Leeds, you reckon, is maybe hold off a week before bringing their players in. Equally, from Arsenal's point of view, how do we feel about any of their assets that we were briefly getting excited about? Where do we stand on Gunners now, Tom?
Yeah, last time I was on, we were talking about Arsenal players who we might want to bring in, the likes of Bukayo Saka and Emile Smith-Rowe. And I remember saying that I was going to hold back on Arsenal and see how durable this run of form that they appeared to have hit was going to be. And I kind of felt like I was saying that almost more in hope than expectation. It was what I was saying to myself to justify not making what looked like quite obvious moves. But as it turns out, it was actually quite a sage approach to take, because Arsenal's form has fallen away a little bit. Generally, though, they're pretty good at home, and not to douse Simon's Leeds bonfire yet further, but they've kept clean sheets in each of the last three home games, Arsenal. So that might be something to look at. But yeah, I don't currently have any Arsenal players, and I'm not in a big hurry to bring any in.
Okay, there have been 76 goals scored in Leeds' 22 Premier League fixtures so far, which is an average of 3.45 per match. So you'd be looking at goals. I'm not sure if Bernd Leno is back in for this clash and how much impact that might have. As for Leeds and Patrick Bamford, he's personally contributed to more goals, 20 so far, with 12 scored and 8 assisted, than the entire squads of four Premier League sides so far this season, which is a lot. And of course, now all his post-game interviews are entirely about FPL and whether he's given himself the armband and that.
I love that. I wish he'd told us before, though.
Yeah. Yeah, indeed. So I went at the West Brom Man United. I've only got Bruno at the moment from United, and a lot of clever folk have got Man United defenders in. West Brom Man United, is that a time to get in some Red Devils at the back?
Yeah, so for me, I think it is. Manchester United also qualified into the next round of the FA Cup, and therefore probably may indeed have a double game week to play in game week 26 if and when that gets announced. So going in on a club like Manchester United at this point makes absolute sense. They're about to play a West Brom team that are in terrible form right now and not scoring a lot of goals at a time where they are scoring a lot of goals, and the defenders are getting involved in those goals. So we saw assists for Wan-Bissaka and Luke Shaw over the last couple of weeks. We've seen multiple goals and assists for them over the course of the season. So for me, looking at somebody like Luke Shaw in particular, who is a really cheap way in to the Manchester United defence for this week against West Brom, where single game week always have a habit of coming back to bite us in double game weeks because we overlook them in our hurry to bring in double game week players. But Manchester United, to me, feel like the perfect team to invest in right now because they are likely to have a double relatively soon as a result of the FA Cup and because of the fixture that they're about to play in game week 24 as well.
Right. Bruno had a rest midweek. Woof. Okay. Sam, I know you also want to flag up Brighton Villa, neither of whom have a double game week, but this could be a fixture that's interesting. Why?
Yeah, for me, this is a really interesting one because, as you say, James, neither of them have got a double game week, yet Brighton and Villa are probably two of the most informed sides in the Premier League right now. Brighton have kept four clean sheets in their last five games. Coupled with that, they're the third best in the league for the number of goal attempts that they have conceded. Only Chelsea and Manchester City have conceded less goal attempts than they have since game week 19. So they are defensively on absolute fire. Now, Lewis Dunk, for me, provides a really interesting FPL conundrum because he has registered 37 points in the last five game weeks. That's four clean sheets, one goal and six bonus points. So because they are not scoring a lot of goals, the defenders are racking up the bonus points because of their ICT, the influence, creativity, threats, the number of blocks that they're making, and the number of chances that they are preventing. So for me, the Brighton defence looks like a really nice go-to right now.
Right. You say conundrum, though. Why conundrum? It sounds like Dunk's a really good pick.
simply because there's not a double game week for them. Right. We don't yet know what's going to happen with them in the FA Cup. They haven't yet played that fixture. So for a lot of FPL managers out there, you'll look at clubs like Brighton and like Villa, who I'll talk about in a minute, and say, well, they look like a nice bet this week. But then you'll couple that with the fact that you want to bring in Manchester City players or Everton players or even Fulham and Burnley defenders, as we've already talked about, and it puts you off. But I think my point is, don't be put off by these single game week players. If they've got a nice fixture and they're in a good run of form, we've seen over the course of the season that form is absolutely key right now. Brighton have that defensively. They are defensively solid and are likely to do well. Now, of course, on the other side of that, Aston Villa have been really good. They have. But also their skill, a lot of their skill has come defensively as well. Martinez is now owned by 35% of the game. So he is no longer a differential keeper. In fact, he is the highest scoring keeper in the game. I don't have a Villa defender, and every single time they keep a clean sheet, my rank plummets by like 20, 25,000 places. So they are damaging me week in, week out, to the point where I know I need to bring in a defender, but actually just bringing in Martinez isn't going to be enough to give me overall rank rises. In order to do that, I'm going to have to bring in two of them. Now, Aston Villa have the lovely icing on top of the cake, which is that they have two games that they have yet to be rearranged. So we know that we're going to get two double game weeks for them. So bringing in Villa defenders, the likes of Target, 3 assists this season, Cash, 2 assists. Mings has got 2 goals and an assist. Cons has got 2 goals. Add one of them to Martinez and you should be bringing in a lot of FPL points and making those Aston Villa defenders differentials.
Wow, Sam, that sounds really high pressure there in the top 60K. You know, every time you don't have a Villa player, you're plummeting down towards the likes of, well, me. Crikey. A quick shout out for Leicester Liverpool, which is coming up this weekend. Coming back into the picture for the Foxes, meanwhile, Jamie Vardy, who got half an hour against Wolves after that hernia operation, came back quickly. What are your thoughts on Vardy? Sam, you were making the case for bringing Kane back. Would you extend that to the Foxes front man?
Potentially I would, yeah. So for me, a lot of these conversations are ones to do with how far in advance you want to plan for your FPL team. Because once we know what happens in the FA Cup, we will start to get a picture of what game week 29 is going to look like. Now, if you are without a free hit chip like I am, I'm going to have to manage a blank game week in 29 by just making my transfers work for me to get as many players as I can for that week. Now, depends on what happens with Leicester in the FA Cup. If they stay in, then that's probably a transfer I don't want to make. But if Leicester go out of the FA Cup and therefore they play in game week 29, he becomes increasingly attractive because we all know what Vardy can do when he gets on one of these nice runs of form. We all know that he was struggling before the hernia operation. That injury just kept reoccurring and it was leaving us as FPL managers feeling a little bit unloved in terms of Jamie Vardy because he just wasn't getting the returns because he was carrying. Now that that's sorted and he's back playing again, he probably will go back on one of these really nice runs of form. And as a result of that, depending on what happens with them, if he can play in 29 as well, that would be a real bonus for us.
Okay, but there's no sense of urgency about bringing him in just yet.
Not ahead of Liverpool, I don't think. Even though Liverpool are conceding a lot of goals, I don't think that with the other fixtures as they are this week, you know, we've already talked about Manchester United and their fixture and the double game week players, I wouldn't be rushing Vardy in for this week.
Do you think Liverpool's poor form is going to continue in this fixture at Leicester? And what does that... Simon, you're pulling a face at this. What do you think?
With the fixture, Leicester have been worse at home. Obviously, they lost to Leeds United very recently. Liverpool, they've got to end this run sometime, but they look fairly lost, don't they? So, yeah, I don't know. I think it's quite soon for Vardy to come back. Do we think he will start? I did think Leicester looked so much worse without Vardy. You know, if he's only going to play the last half an hour again or something as he comes back to fitness, then maybe Liverpool could sneak it.
Plenty of important and long-ranging strategies mentioned in the course of our Game Week 24 fixture focus. So, with the midweek cup games confirming now some future double game weeks, with others still to be settled, let's now take an especially deep long view look. Long view, checking ahead. As ever, the Premier League's FDR chart, fixture difficulty rating chart, is essential. You can find it at fancy.premierleague.com. But also, you might want to check out some of the kind of spreadsheets about where fixtures are going to get slotted in. And a shout out to the incredible work done by Ben Krellin, who's been compositing probabilities of fixtures taking place, but where fixtures could be cropping up in the weeks to come. And he's done an excellent job of predicting where the doubles will be arriving. What we know is there's a double, as we mentioned, this time. Next week, game week 25, is also a double for Leeds and Saints. There's probably doubles in 26, 27 and 28 too. And as Sam was mentioning before, game week 29 so far has only two games confirmed, only four teams confirmed as playing. But the rest of the game week 29 blanks will be confirmed with the other FA Cup fifth round results over the next 2 days. By the way, the only two teams that definitely won't have any double game weeks in the next six rounds are Arsenal and West Ham, which does raise a question about West Ham. Mikel Antonio missing out on the Old Trafford FA Cup clash, not being rested for the weekend, at least according to manager David Moyes, who is hinting at some kind of fitness issues. He blanked for his owners at the weekend, last weekend, game week 23. And I'm not sure if now we're beginning to shift away from those of us who've had triple hammers in our lineup. I'm not sure what the long-term strategy is there. But overall, Tom, what is your plan going into this incredible run of potential double game weeks?
So on West Ham, I'm not a triple hammerer, but a double. I've got Soufal and Souček. And although they don't have any doubles, they are at home to Sheffield United in game week 24. So I'll be holding on to both of those players for that fixture. My plan for the next 2 weeks is to probably slash possibly, and once again, allowing myself to be talked out of a strategy by listening to Sam's very wise words, the plan of doubling up on Burnley is starting to look a little bit less rock solid. I'll definitely be bringing in Ben Mee and possibly Ashley Barnes. And then for the following week, I'm going to double up for Leeds' double game week. So I've already got Patrick Bamford. I'm going to bring in Stuart Dallas. And then I rather smugly still have all my chips to play. So that is hopefully going to work to my advantage in the weeks ahead. Can I ask, do we know yet whether there are going to be any proper bumper double game weeks where like almost everyone has two fixtures? Because that would be useful knowledge to have.
It's likely to be game week 26. Well, it depends what happens in the FA Cup. But the reality is, so we know that probably they're going to put Palace and United in there. We know that probably whatever happens, Spurs will go in there with the game in hand they've got. Man City will go in there with their game in hand, as will Villa go in there because they've got two games in hand. So there's a lot of clubs going in there. Plus, it could be all of the games that don't fit in 29 could also be going in there. So it could be more like five or six additional games that week.
The only three clubs that are definitely not having a double game week in 26, as far as I can tell, are Villa, Leicester and Man City.
Yeah, so there could be multiple. It could be a huge double game week, that one. And then the other double game weeks that follow are likely to be one or two additional games as they fit them in around Europa League, Champions League, all of that kind of stuff. So they'll just have to fit in other games in those weeks. So 26 is probably the moment for a bench boost if you have it left, potentially a triple captaincy if there's a nice fixture for a certain player who's in form, Mr. Harry Kane potentially. But yeah, the 26 is likely to be your next big double opportunity, and then other doubles after that might look a bit like the ones we've got in 24 and 25.
For any managers who, like me, have spaffed their chips all over the place, Simon, you fall into this category as well. I've still got the second wild card,
Simon. James.
Yeah, Simon, have you got your second wild card still?
I have to admit that I've got nothing.
You've used nothing. Both wild cards. All right, good for you.
Well, what happened is that when I first
rock and roll
the first week. I went big on Arsenal in the very, very beginning, all that time ago. And they were just so bad that I had to play my wild card really early on. And then just after Christmas, every single player was injured. So I just had to go for it again. So it was needs must as opposed to anything rock and roll. But I definitely regret it.
You invested back at the, you know, just after Christmas, and the players you brought in have brought you points that you wouldn't have had if you hadn't played that wild card, I guess. But the question is for you, and I guess for people who have a wild card, Sam, have you got any wise thoughts on how you approach that game week 29 fixture dearth?
So if you're like Tom and have the free hit chip, then the free hit chip is perfect for game week 29. Tom is currently doing a little dance. We can't see that. I wish we all could. But yeah, if you're like Tom,
we can't unsee it either. Actually,
yeah. you've got a really nice opportunity there for a free hit. If like myself and James and Simon, you don't have a free hit chip, then what I'm planning to do is use my transfers to get as many players who play. And I'm hoping the FA Cup treats us kindly and we get a few more fixtures that go in there. Use my transfers to get as many players as possible for that free hit without making hits, because there's not likely to be many teams playing, and therefore taking hits is probably not going to be worth it. So it's just going to be as many players as I can get out. And hopefully, I mean, I have a couple of Leeds players already. I have three West Ham players already. So I'm already on five with just those two games. So we should be able to get a reasonable team out. And then, like myself and James, I have my wild card intact. So I'm planning then to get myself out of the game week 29 misery by wildcarding back in all these players that I'm going to want between game week 30 and game week 38, who don't play in game week 29. I'll bring them all back in again at that point, because at the moment team value is quite important in affording as many players as I want to have in my team. But post game week 30, once my team is pretty much set then till the end of the season, I can wildcard these players in and out, and that should work quite nicely. So that's my plan. Use my wildcard to get out of the hole that I'm going to end up in with my game week 29 players.
And for Simon, who's already used his wildcard, what advice can you give?
For people that have already used their wild cards, then it's not the end of the world, because we have teams like Leeds and West Ham playing in game week 29. They're not bad players to own, and they'll take you through till the end of the season. And if this is a very low game week in terms of the number of fixtures that we have on, then having even just five or six players out is probably going to be okay. So just use your transfers wisely for players that you want to keep for the end of the season. So Bamford and Dallas, great picks. Even I know that Tom was talking about getting rid of Kufa, but he's in a different strategy to the rest of us because he has that free hit chip. If you don't have a free hit chip, holding your West Ham players also makes a lot of sense, and investing in them and potentially the likes of Arsenal and even Fulham. Yeah, they're not in the best form right now. That's absolutely true. But they do double this time around, and they do play in 29. So they might be actually quite nice players to target, particularly as you can sit them on your bench after this double until you get to 29 and you need them.
I love listening to Sam, because she makes me feel like a Formula One driver working out a pit stop strategy. That's good.
Brilliant stuff, Sam. Thank you so much for that. And next up, let's dip into our mailbag with some of a listener's top players to target for the upcoming game week. This week, our tweet, hashtag FPLpod, was, who are the top players to target for double game week 24 and why? Here are some of your comments. Bree says Bamford for goals. Liverpool will need to bounce back, so it could be very bad for Justin. Interesting. FPL Tipster says triple Man City assets. Bring in a Burnley defender and DCL for goals. Can't argue with any of that. Luca says, from an honest Man United fan, Gundogan is better than Bruno. That's an interesting shout. Tom, you're frowning.
I mean, he's not, is he? I mean, in an FPL sense, he might be a more useful signing because he's cheaper, but no.
Okay. Matt, James Rodriguez, unreal differential. Rodriguez, who misses out on the FA Cup action, is that precautionary or is there a potential red flag over the Everton creative midfielder?
Ancelotti said that they needed to see him in training, had a potential knock, see how he got on. So I think he's one to watch. Hopefully after the game between Everton and Spurs in the FA Cup, we might get a bit more news from Ancelotti about James Rodriguez.
Fair enough. Well, next up then, let's get a quick check on what you're planning to do transfer-wise, and also the biggest question of all, who's going to be wearing the armband for game week 24? Your deadline for game week 24 is Saturday, 11 o'clock in the morning UK time. By which time, what transfers do you intend to have made, Simon?
I was planning to get Gundogan in somewhere. I was thinking about actually making the big move of getting rid of Salah in order that the net following week I can get Kane in, because I'll have lots of free cash. However, that has been spoiled slightly by the fact that this morning, I think, Antonio's got a big, horrible triangle next to him. And he's playing against Sheffield United, so I definitely was going to keep him for that game, but I might have to make a decision about doing something different there. And then captain-wise, I was probably going to go for Calvert-Lewin, because hopefully, I think he'll hopefully do well against Fulham. And then the Man City game is a bonus, really, of if he gets anything really in that game, that will be good.
Sam, what about you?
So I have two free transfers going into this week, and I am definitely waiting on the FA Cup results to try to, as I said earlier, target the players with doubles that get me through for the next few weeks. Antonio is a problem for me also. I'm keeping a very close eye on that. He's flagged with fatigue. Now, given that he's just come back from a serious injury, that does worry me because I do not want him missing out. This team, my bench is what it is. Every week it's got 1,000 points on it, as we all know. But it looks quite nice this week. It looks bench boostable, this side this week. So I am kind of pondering on playing it. But obviously that means I need to ensure that Antonio plays. And if he doesn't, then I need to make that change. So Antonio to Kane could happen this week.
Have you got that much in the bank?
Yeah, I have. Because I've still got the money from doing that swap originally. I just left it there because I knew I'd be wanting Kane back longer term. So I have the money ready to do that. That could happen this week if Antonio isn't ready. And then that means I don't have to bench Suchek and Justin and Dallas, who are currently sat on my bench. Plus, I've got a second playing keeper at the moment in McCarthy, ready for his double next week. So it's bench boostable. I, like Simon, do not trust Pep and the Pep roulette in terms of who's going to play in these two weeks. I don't think you can call it. Even with Gundogan, I'm not sure you can call him getting a full 90 in both games. We've seen him haul him at 60 minutes before. So I'm going to captain Dominic Calvert-Lewin.
Tom, your transfers and your captaincy thoughts?
So as discussed, my plan is to go big on Burnley. So I'm planning to do James Justin to Ben Mee and then Callum Wilson to Ashley Barnes. Callum Wilson, who went off in Newcastle's last game with an injury, so has got a yellow flag next to his name. And then given that Burnley also have that home game against West Brom in the next game week, I'm happy with that Burnley double up. And then captaincy-wise, it is tricky. I mean, ordinarily, you would just go for a City player, and the most obvious pick for me would be Raheem Sterling. And given that he hasn't really proved to be the game-changing, season-defining differential that I hoped he would be when I brought him in, I'm minded to give him the captaincy and give him the chance to prove that he can be that player for my team. And even if he only plays 90 minutes in one game and 30 minutes in the other, there's still a chance of him racking up some points. And if it's not Sterling, I might maybe go Cancelo.
But would you captain Sterling if he was playing against Spurs or Everton in a single game week?
Potentially yes.
Ooh.
Because City are really good, and because he is my one big sort of differential when it comes to big price FPL assets. So yeah, that's what I'm leaning towards. But yeah, as Sam was saying, may bench boost as well, and just go crazy.
Boy, there's a lot to ponder this time, isn't there? 11 o'clock Saturday morning is the deadline. Simon, have you found this an enriching experience?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, there's a lot of facts that, I don't really, as a more casual user, you're not so in tune with. So all of the double week stuff. So I'll definitely be looking at a few weeks more ahead, I think. So I tend to just go for like a couple of weeks, maybe a week ahead. That's it. I was going to say, actually, with the Fulham bashing, because that's sort of a technique at the beginning of the season was whoever. I think I used it last year with Huddersfield as well. It's like, who are Huddersfield playing? Right, I'll captain the striker against Huddersfield. So I was sort of using that technique, and then triple captained Kane v Fulham, and then that game was obviously postponed, which was disappointing.
Right.
So I feel like that could be an improvement to the game. I think those points should. I'm still mourning those lost points.
So what? That you get points back to, when that game gets played, it would actually be inserted into your game week.
Yeah, why not? I think it would be impossible for them with all the like cup leagues and all that stuff. But
or just some sort of COVID-19 solidarity package. If you have players in your team and there's a fixture gets cancelled, you just get 15 points, say.
Or they could just leave it as it is anyway.
Yeah. Also, that's another approach.
Anyway, yeah, it's a challenging one, but richly rewarding and all of that. And game week 24. Is fast approaching. Many thanks then to Simon for being with us today, and also to Tom and Sam. If you want any more scouting info, injury news, a quick look at the FTR chart, all that sort of stuff, it's all available at fantasy.premierleague.com, as is the Fantasy Premier League TV show with myself and Jules Breach. That's plenty to be thinking about for the moment, though. We'll be back in a week's time. So best of luck, everybody, with Double Game Week 24, and we'll catch you soon on the official FPL podcast.